You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
We've been talking about hope. Anybody want to give us a recap on what has been standing out to you about hope? Take a moment and look at your notes. If you need pen and paper, just slip up your hand, and we got somebody that'll pass a piece of paper, a notebook, and a pen to you, because we forget 95% of what we learn in 24 hours. I'm talking about hope. Where do we say hope was? Hope sees and faith does. So you can believe for something. Hope will give you the sight to see it. But faith will give you the ability to do it. But you got to have hope. All right? Anybody? Monty? What did you learn about that test?
Oh, I didn't get an A.
Uh-huh. Oh!
So I was upset. Okay. And then I was, I did pass, and I over average this time.
Okay. So will you pass, allow you to graduate?
Yes.
So you didn't get A?
No.
But you passed? And if you pass, you can graduate.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all know she's not excited about what I just shared? Professor, is she excited? Or is it just me? Am I excited?
We're all excited for her.
Okay, so we can be excited for her? Okay. Y'all, can we be excited for her? Okay. On the count of two, say, we're excited for you. One, two, we're excited for you.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. I'm going to just move on now. We're talking about hope. All right. Yes, ma'am. Might come in your way.
Okay, what stood out to me is act it out before it manifests.
Ooh, what does that mean?
And it requires the anointing and the decision. So you're walking in an expectancy.
Okay.
You're expecting it to happen,
okay,
and you're acting it out.
Okay.
I mean, you're walking like it's going to happen.
You're walking like it's going to happen. Okay.
You said we process what we hear through our hurts and our experiences.
Okay. What does that mean, Cheryl?
So I'm trying to think of a scenario.
Okay.
I can't, but I'll just make one up.
Okay.
You know, somebody who's in the process of getting divorced.
Okay.
You know, you're trying to tell them how God loves them and he's never going to leave them. And they're not listening because they're like, but my husband is leaving me.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
You counter every negative thought with God's word.
Okay, so what does that mean? Say it one more time.
You counter every negative thought with God's word.
Okay.
So if someone just called you ugly,
uh-huh,
you could just say, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made.
Okay, all right, okay. What does that mean to you?
To me, it means I got to get more God's words.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, a lot of things come at me,
uh-huh,
and I don't have the words right now,
okay,
to counter it.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, when you lose hope, you die.
Okay.
The scripture that comes to me is when God said in his word that I decree and I declare that I will live and not die,
uh-huh,
and declare the works of the Lord.
Okay.
So you have to back up hope.
Okay.
With the word of God.
Okay. What does that mean to you, Madeline?
It means to me, I had to use that scripture.
Okay. All right.
That I should live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's why I know that scripture, because at one time, a long time ago, when I used to come over y'all's house all the time.
Yeah, you remember that?
Every second, every minute, every hour of the day. Anyway, no, not that long. But anyway, it was like panic. It was a panic attack.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I stood on the word of God that I would live and not die in the cluttered works of the Lord. So far as hoping, you have to have the word of God to stand on when you're hoping and believing for something.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Faith cannot operate without hope.
Okay.
You need to have hope in order to, if I say I just have faith, but I'm not expecting God to work on my behalf, I'm expecting everybody else, he'll work on everybody else's behalf, but not mine.
Okay.
Then that's what I call faith is not going to work, because okay, I don't have hope that God is going to, you know, work on my behalf.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right.
I found out.
All right. So what does that mean to you, Wayne?
That means that my attitude when I'm waiting on something has to change.
Okay.
My attitude has to be a service attitude, but it has to be an attitude that, yeah, God, I don't know when or where,
okay,
but it's up to me to know that God is, it's not just a mental accident, it's a heart thing.
Okay.
I have to know that God is working on my behalf.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Yep.
Put hope before the disaster, and the disaster may not manifest.
Oh, say it one more time.
Put hope before the disaster,
uh-huh,
and the disaster may not manifest.
Okay, so what does that mean to Reverend?
Let me. A lot of times when we're thinking disaster, is a lot of times it's in the mind.
Uh-huh.
We're saying that if you don't look forward to it being a disaster, talking about it being a
okay
disaster, thinking about it being a disaster, that it may not even manifest.
Okay.
Because we give what is it to our words? Our words actually cause things to happen that
okay
may not even happen. And then that second thing I had was what you were saying. So hope and faith are sisters.
Ooh, okay.
So they go along together.
Okay, all right. Yes, ma'am.
When there's feelings of hopelessness,
okay,
say something.
Ooh, okay. Talk to me.
So when yesterday I had a panic attack.
Okay, all right.
And I was sitting in my car to go to work,
okay,
and just I was about to call in.
Uh-huh.
I went in the house.
Okay.
And I sat in the kitchen floor. And basically, I talked to God.
Okay.
I said, you know, I'm giving you this feeling of hopelessness. Then I chose one scripture, and I stuck with it, and I just kept repeating it.
Okay.
I'm the righteousness of God in
okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And finally, I calmed down, and I was okay. able to go to work. I was a little late, but okay. I was at work.
Okay. So no more panic attacks at work. Just right. this was in the car.
Yes.
Go ahead and sit in the car for a second. Just close your eyes. Now, I'm asking her to close her eyes. Don't y'all close your eyes with her because you'll end up in her car. You follow me? Because we are spirit to spirit. Okay? So take me back. Give me some music, brother. So take me to that incident. Okay? What time you get in the car?
7:05.
Okay. You in the car now?
Yes.
And let me know when you're in there.
I'm in.
Okay. Did you start it yet?
No.
You hadn't started the car. Okay, and then what happened? What did you start to feel?
I was overwhelmed.
Okay.
Feelings of I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to leave my house. I didn't want to be here.
Okay.
Period.
Because if I do, what am I afraid will happen? If I leave my house, if I go to school, what am I afraid is going to happen? And I'm talking to that panic attack that was on the inside. Bad things are going to happen when I'm not at home, okay? And what are you feeling in your body as you prepare for these bad things to happen? Okay. 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 Are they racing now or are they slowed? Have they slowed down? Okay, fine now. Okay, okay. All right. So would you mind if Jesus come in the car? So you ask me and say, Jesus? Would you mind coming in where that panic attack is? And you let me know when he shows up. And where is he at? Okay, okay. Would you mind staying right there where he's holding you behind that couch? And what are the thoughts as he's holding you behind that couch? You calm and you're safe. Just stay right there. What's going on with the thoughts? They still peaceful? Okay. 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 I just want you to stay right there where Jesus has you behind the sofa in that bucket. And just stay right there and follow that smile that you just had. Jesus, why did she smile when I say about that bucket? Would you mind telling her why she smirked about that? Why she chuckled about that? What did he say why you chuckled about that? Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. It's not a secret anymore. So who else you think heard that? Mm-hmm. You think the panic attacks heard that? So just ask them, what do you want me to know about being safe with you? I got you. Why then? Okay. I just want you to stay right there. And just ask him, is there anything I need to have be panicked about? Okay. And just ask him, Jesus, do I ever leave your hands? When it's time for me to go to work. Just follow that deep breath you had just right there. Go ahead, just follow that. What you feel right? What did you feel right there when you took that deep breath? I enjoy work. So just ask him, say, Jesus, did you create that job for me? Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's okay for me to go there? Okay, just stay right there. Now I want you to go right back to where that car was. You're in the car. You were having a panic attack. But this time Jesus exposed your secret about you in there. He got you in this place behind the sofa. And look and see whether you can find the panic attack. It's not there. It's just quiet. It's peaceful. And just ask me, Jesus, is there anything you want to give me in place of the things that I've lost? Me? And what does that mean? Okay. Okay. Is this quiet there? Okay. I just want you to look around inside the car. To your right, left, whatever. See whether everything feels quiet. Feel resolved. You gonna go to work tomorrow? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right, so what did I do? I gave her hope. See how that worked? You have the ability to give people hope on the spot. I had a young man that I could had a challenge hearing him talk. So whenever he talked, it was like, so I'm talking to Wayne. So you, me, and I'm him. So say something to me.
How you doing today?
I'm okay. Could you hear me? Okay. So I'm talking to him, but I can't hear. So I said, Holy Spirit, what is it? He said, when you talk that low, it's because you were told not to talk, that whatever you had to say wasn't important. So we at work. And I said, you mind if I talk to you for a little while? He said, no. I said, who told you to shut up? He said, well, why would you say that? I said, because you never talk loud enough to be heard. So, children, you normally have to tell them to pipe it down, right? When you're excited about something, you know, like how we're excited about Monty. She wasn't excited about Monty, but we're excited about Monty. You can hear us outside. So I said, okay. I said, so close your eyes. Close his eyes. I said, Holy Spirit, show him who told him to shut up. Not only did the Holy Spirit show him who told him to shut up, his father told him to get in the closet, close the door. You don't come out until I tell you. You be quiet. Don't want to hear a peep from you. And you better stay there until I let you out. Now, do you think you would be quiet? But the only thing was is that the father never told him that you can talk now. He would just open up the door and wouldn't say anything. So the child said, well, I'm not sure whether I'm supposed to say anything. So see, when we are traumatized, what happens is we put a lot of data, assumed data. Y'all know what assumptions? Assumption data. So assumption data for him was anything that looked like authority, I'm not supposed to talk to. So if you didn't look like authority, then he could talk to you. But if I look like authority, then he couldn't talk to me. Follow me? She looked like authority, so he couldn't talk to her. You follow me? But guess who went in the closet with him when we went this time? So it wasn't dark in the closet because glory was in there. It wasn't quiet in the closet because God kept talking to him. The door couldn't be short shut because his glory disintegrated the door. You follow me? So where the dad shut the door, the glory, there was no need for a door because his glory surpassed it. Young man talking now. When we find out, when we meet Jesus in that area of our life, faith, our whole life changed. So we can know a lot about Jesus, but see, he's everywhere we are. And once we find out about him in that area, he'll give you a voice if you don't have one. But see, you knew Jesus about finances, or you knew Jesus about healing, but you didn't know that he would never leave you nor forsake you. You heard the scripture, but that young man went in the closet expecting to find darkness, quietness. And by the way, he wasn't allowed to sit down. He had to stand up. This was hours at a time. But faith, he got help. You follow me? So we have the ability to give people hope at any time just by looking at them and seeing that they're sad about something. So what I'm seeing more and more and more is that they call it a workplace ministry course, what it's called, where we're taking Christ to where we work. And we're not caring about, now we're going to do our job that we've been hired to do, but the other thing we're going to do is when we see people without hope, we're going to minister hope to them where they are. That's why one of the reasons Faith loves going to her job is because she's dealing with children that seem like they don't have hope. But then when they see her, they see hope. And it don't take long. I mean, I don't take the person through all the long scriptures like what, I mean, the long submission prayer. I just go, do you mind? And that's it. Follow me? Everybody got it? Okay. All right. So we're just talking about, let's read this together. We process what we hear through our hurts and experiences. And what does that mean? I got one here. Nice haircut, Shell.
Okay, so it means that when we see a situation, we process it by through what we've seen or heard or felt before.
Okay.
I look at issues of racism and issues of intolerance differently than my son does.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Because I have seen it firsthand and okay. I've lived through it. So when I see stuff, I process it through that hurt.
Okay.
He has absolutely no clue what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
So okay. He thinks I'm a little bit touched in the head when okay. I say things okay. about, you know, things. Because he's like, he has no concept of it okay. where
okay.
I do.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? What that means? So I'm learning to ask people, what did you hear me say? Because now I'm listening for their hurt, which allowed them to see and hear differently than what I said. We got one here. Yes, ma'am.
The word through okay. lets me know that there's a filter.
Oh, ooh, okay. Good catch.
So the filter is here.
Okay.
And whatever the experiences, the hurts okay. are, or were in, from the past, is sitting right here.
Okay.
And then anything that goes into the ear is... It has to pass through
okay.
person experiences.
Okay. All right. Wayne?
Yeah, similar to what you just said, like I have a filter, like when, especially like when I used to get corrected,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't see it as correction because I love outside as an attack.
Okay. Ooh.
And I would hear like, you know, the Charlotte Brown cartoon, blah, 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 uh-huh. blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Like static.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good catch. All right. So y'all process that, okay? All right. So disqualifying the positive. We talked about that, right? Okay, that's where somebody can say you did a good job. Somebody can say you did a good job, and you'll say what? I didn't make 100. You know, right? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about? No. That's disqualifying the positive. Okay?
And I told my mom I did that. I said I disqualified the positive.
Okay, okay. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you like pain?
No.
What did your neighbor say? What do your neighbors say? No? All right. So when we choose to, this is not money. Not, okay? Faith, just stay with me. When we choose to disqualify the positive, we're choosing pain. Because if God said in Philippians 4, think on these things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, virtuous, and deserving of praise, those things that you have both learned and received and seen in me do, then the peace of God will be with you. When I choose to disqualify the positive, I'm walking away from the peace of God and going to the troubled water. When I choose to ignore peace, what's the opposite of peace? It's pain. Okay? All right? So I'm going to keep going on. Keep going. All right, y'all check this out. So we call it disqualifying the positive. So when I disqualify the positive, I'm disqualifying or eliminating the thankfulness of my ability in him. People don't see that. But if I'm blessing you and you choose to ignore the blessing, then you chose pain, but you also chose to be unthankful for me being present in a situation where only I could change. Somebody want to read? Faith, you got the mic. Go ahead, Faith.
For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane.
When I disqualify the positive, I go into the realm of being ungrateful. Because God allowed us to do only that which he allowed us to do. So when someone blesses you and you choose, nope, then you just went into an ungrateful realm. But he says, this is how people are going to be in the last days. They're going to be lovers of who? Self. So why do I need God if I love myself? Self-love. And he say self-worth. Self-worth means my worth is in him. Self-esteem means I have to do something in order to get worth. He said, I've already provided you with worth. When I died for you, I gave you all the worth you would ever need me. Lovers of money, arrogant, ungrateful. You all seen it? Some people working 5 or 6 jobs to buy a kid a pair of Jordans, and the kid said, I don't even want that pair. I'm into something else now. Jazz, you thinking, what you got? Smacked him upside the head. You heard what she said, all right? She said, all right, check this out. Y'all ready for this? Another indication of disqualifying the positive, they are usually not thankful. Say, usually not thankful. And I'm be honest with you guys. Y'all ready for this? I put that usually part in there. Because the psychology definition of it is they are not thankful for anything. But because I'm a church pastor, I got to make it kind of smooth a little bit. You follow me? That's what the psychology definition. They are not thankful for anything. I'm going to show you what happened. I wanted a new suit. This is what they say. I wanted a new suit. You get them a new suit, and what they say? Remember, because you got to disqualify the positive. So when I give you what you say you need, you reject it because you have to disqualify my gift. Y'all ready for the next one? I'm hungry. You bring them chicken. I don't want chicken. I wanted fish. Because remember, they have to disqualify the positive, which is supplying a need, to reject it. Follow me? Anything that's positive, they got to find a way to get rid of it. They got to find a way to cut it down. Y'all ready for this one? I'm lonely. Visitors come over, and you say, why did they come over on Friday? And I'm going to give y'all a perfect example. She's not here tonight, so y'all can tell the pastor we're talking about her. Remember when Latrice said that she was believing for a house to be fixed? Faith, you were here that day, right? And the man say, I'm going to come over, and I'm free. This is no charge. It's free. I'm going to come over at 8 o'clock. And she said, why would you come over at 8? Won't you come over at another time? What'd she say? 10 or 11. Did I say free? But you got to disqualify the positive. And so then she thought about it. Thank you, Jesus. And she called the man back, 8 o'clock will be fine. That's the process of renewing of your mind where you recognize where you went wrong and you go back and fix it. I laughed about that one, though. I said, yeah, I can see that. I remember when she said that thing. Everybody got it? So if you are healthy and you're dealing with someone who disqualifies the positive, you get to a place where you're healthy enough where you stop trying to please them. Because according to the psychology dictionary, they will never be satisfied. So you do what you had chose to do. You wanted to get fish, go get the fish. Follow me? Read that out loud for me. Tell me what that mean, guys. Faith?
Take care of the small things before you wish for the larger things. Holy God.
Never let the things you want make you forget the things you have. I want a bigger house. But God said, he which is faithful with that which is little, God will give him more. So you're not taking care of the house you got. Dirty. Nothing in its place. But you're forgetting the fact that you're not homeless. You're forgetting the fact that when you were in college, you had a roommate. You're forgetting the fact that you used to have to stay in your car. Never let the things you want make you forget the things you have. You got a child. Yeah, they might be special, but at least they still alive. I wish Billy was more like Johnny. You don't know what Johnny do when he get home. You don't know what, I mean, because people can put some fronts on. All y'all got to do is look at Facebook. People be putting some airs on, boy. Life is grand and stuff like that, you know. Anyway. Read that one for me. What does that mean? What does that mean? The things you take for granted, someone else is praying for. Somebody is praying for your car that got a dent in it because they're tired of walking. Someone's praying for your two-bedroom apartment because they're living in their car. Mr. Core, big money. You always back there doing security. What's something that, what's a challenge, if you have one, that you can think of where you have disqualified the positive? And she's coming your way. Because you rarely get a chance to talk. Because you always out there in security.
As far as security.
Or anything. Because we gave examples last week of people who haven't challenged what we did, all or nothing thinking and so forth. Do you have any areas where you feel like you have a challenge by disqualifying the positive?
Well, I guess I can say for personal, I know I could be a little bit further than I am now.
Okay.
But then I'd be like, well, I'm 25 years old, okay. Married, okay. Got our own place. Doing very good okay. with finances at work. So I'm like, okay, well, that's probably a good amount of things that I am doing right.
Okay.
But then I look at other cats that's doing, you know, got a maybe Range Rover, got the house by now.
Okay.
But I'm doing me.
Okay.
So
you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's an example.
Okay. So Kelly, when we look at where Jazz and Corey are, and we look at where Curly and I was when we were at that age, I mean, when they gave us vows, you know that part of the vow where it says, well, what is about, huh? Give my wife the mic. Give the wife what? I'm going to tell y'all, if y'all didn't know, Faith, you ready for something? You talking about a secret? My girl laughed in my face in front of the preacher. Tell him about that part. Corey, can you hear?
Well, you seem to remember it more than I
do. Oh, yeah. Now, go ahead.
You know the verse that talks about something about your worldly goods.
Yeah, yeah.
Or richer for poor. And I'm like, I was thinking in my mind, we can't get any poor.
Okay. I'm serious. It was a faith walk all the way. I'm serious. We had belief for everything. And we look at their salaries compared to what we made. I think we started out with $13,000. That was our yearly salary. Yeah. I think that was Curly's. Mine was like 10. You know, I'm an art school graduate. I'm a change the world Picasso. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, but I'm on it. You know, y'all gonna pop buy me some big paintings. Y'all gonna buy stuff. Shoot, man. Only thing we're missing was part of me. Anybody here part of me? Y'all know you poor part of me. Yeah. Part of me. Y'all never heard of part of me? Yeah. The rest of you had it. Yeah. And then what's that other stuff? Spam? Yeah. You know, people selling that as expensive food now? Yeah. They got a commercial on it. Fry it, turn it over and all that, put mustard on their face. Come on, I'm telling you. Man, that's how we live. You know, our first bed, I made the sucker. I made the bed. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah, made it. Made the bed. Made a sofa. Tell them I'm lying. I'm just talking about dequalifying the pot. Just show y'all where we were. Okay, you ready?
I mean, he was a good carpenter, so he made a bed, desk, sofa. It was all in one.
All in one.
All in one. Yeah. So our bedroom was upstairs. Oh, this then we climbed the stairs down. There's a sofa. Uh-huh. And then there's a desk on the side.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
We had one room.
Yeah, he had a drawing desk. So I had to make the drawing desk. And you walked underneath, you get underneath it, you missed it, you bumped your head. Yes, sir. Curly cooked on a hot plate. This is our first place. Hot plate. Yes, sir. It was good. Yes, sir. We waited for the summer because that way we could at least go outside and cook on the grill instead of the hot plate. I'm just taking y'all back to where we were. But we blessed that food and we were thankful for it. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, we bought pillows. Y'all know Pier 1? Remember Pier 1? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We bought our pillows at Pier 1 for that sofa that I made. I made the wooden sofa. Then you put the two pillows on it. That's it. But we sat there and watched that little TV that had been passed there, 13-inch TV. Wasn't no remote. You turned the buttons. That's it. One room. But we were thankful. That was the start. We didn't disqualify the positive. The things you take for granted, someone else was praying for. God, that was a decision. And she loved me anyway. You know what I'm saying? Some people, you can only love them if, you know, it's like everything is good. That's it. She loved me anyway. I had to share with her the other day. I said, baby, you know, how many of y'all married? Y'all talk at night, you know, y'all talk at night. So what happened for those who believe to get married, you talk at night. And, you know, you're getting ready to go to bed. And I was telling Colonel, I said, you know, what I'm thankful for is when we're talking at night and she's about ready to go to sleep and I'm talking to her and she has that little giggle. And I can see her teeth, but her head is facing away from me. You know, that's how much of a memory you have of what you look forward to. So her head turned this way. I'm behind her. We spooning. Y'all know what spooning is. And I can hear her laugh at night about something that I just shared with her. And I can go to bed and hear that laugh at night, man. See, I'm thankful. I don't disqualify the positive. Because somebody didn't go to sleep with their wife last night or their spouse. It's real stuff, man. Amen? So disqualifying the positive. Distortion stems from. So that way of thinking stems from being criticized. And I know where Jazz got hurt from because we criticized Jazz to 100. If she got 99.9 money, that wasn't good enough. Why didn't you get that 1%? Girl, you were that close. So see, when I'm picking on you, I'm trying to correct with you what I didn't correct with her. Because if you don't get it straight, when you get married, your children are going to be the product of that. And we thought we were motivating her. No, we weren't. How you see some things, I used to say how you do some things. How you see some things is how you can see everything. It took years of getting Jasmine free from that mindset. You follow me? Because we thought we were motivating, right, honey? Then Jazz shut me down one day. Y'all ready for it? Teacher, you ready for this? Jazz said, Dad, what did you make in school? I said, girl, you correct her. Girl, you get her. She did it cool, too. I guess she got fed up. She said, Dad, what did you make in school? Move right on. Move right along. It stems from perfectionism. We did that to Jazz. Nothing else was ever good enough. So when it's time for Jazz to relax and enjoy her high school year, she decided she wanted to go out for the marching band. So it wasn't bad enough that we were demanding perfection. Now she goes to a school in a band where they're going to cut her down. They're going to say things. They're going to insult her and so forth and so on. Now, Curly and I could see that when they were doing it, but we didn't see it when we were doing it. Y'all follow me? I'm just talking to you. So I'm just telling you where disqualifying the positive come from. Come from perfectionism, where you were demanded to be perfect. They told Jazz, what grade was that, third grade or first grade, where the teacher said, Jazz, take it too long. Kindergarten. What happened, Madeline? Jazz was taking too long to color a picture. Her picture were perfect. We did that. But we didn't think that, what was your name? Chantel. We didn't think that was going to impact her life today. You follow me? Jazz does perfect work. Excellent work. That's what they use. Excellent work. But she take too long to color. You just supposed to do like this. That's what kindergartens do. Not Jazz. Jazz come home and say, Ma, you missed the spot. Curly wouldn't even color with her. Curly liked the color. Curly wouldn't even color with her. You are suspicious of others and their motives. Because when are you going to tell me that it wasn't good enough? When are you going to say that what I did was wrong? When will you say that I didn't live up to the expectation? So they walk around with this expectation that somebody's going to find something that they're not doing right, and they're going to call it out. You got a question? You good? Mike, come your way. So we repented. We repented to Jazz. Top Gun, we asked her to forgive us a couple times.
It just triggered something. It made me think, like, when people say, well, let me talk to you for a minute. I'm thinking, oh, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that stems from the past. Mm-hmm.
Disqualifying the positive. Because okay. You're thinking that you did something wrong. Because you don't remember all the times they said you did well.
Oh, could it possibly be just one person that you, whenever they say, like uh-huh. Wayne said, uh-huh. Well, I want to talk to you.
Okay.
Could it just be one isolated person, not anybody else, but just one?
Yeah. But there's normally something, some trauma that you attach to them in some type of way that translate into another person. So let's say if that's a female, then you might start to grow up with female tendencies that they are not to be trusted, or they can ruin your day. Most of the time, although it's one person who does it, you are a little suspicious of another female in a position of authority if they represent authority. Yes, good question. It can be only be one person. Because this guy dealt with just a male, a father, adult, but he translated all people of male descent in authority as his issue. Yes, ma'am.
So the Holy Spirit pointed out to me that I'm healed because now I have a boss that thinks everything I do is wonderful.
Yes, she does. Yeah. Amen.
Do it to yourself.
Yes.
Okay, because I don't have anyone who ever asked me mm-hmm. who said that what I did wasn't good enough.
Okay.
I just simply thought that okay. what I did was not good enough.
Okay.
So
you would ask the Holy Spirit, where did that come from? Because see, so we can do things based off what someone said or what we perceive they represented. Everybody understand what that means? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Like for me, it's all people.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter, male,
okay.
female. Okay. I'm just suspicious of you.
Okay. All right.
Serious. No, not you guys. I'm just saying. Just people that, you know, I don't really know, or someone in authority or whatever. Okay. It's just, I don't, sometimes I feel like just when I think it's okay to trust them, I have to pull back because it's something that I've seen in you or you said that I feel that I can't trust your actions or your words.
Okay, okay. So you were hurt by both male and female. Okay, all right. Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to understand the you are suspicious of others and their motives.
Okay.
Now, just like she was saying, my thing is it was always a male figure that always hurted me. And so me and my fiance, you know, was going through it or whatever. And it's like I could never let him all the way in, or things that he did or might have said, you know, triggered me. And then I would put that wall up. And I'm like, I was just looking at it. And I'm like, so me being, by me being hurt by males, you know, all of my life, it's like when I found the my fiance, it's like I could never get past all the things that I've been through as far as with men go. That I, you know, that's supposed to love me or I love them.
So when you're ready, you start out by forgive. You ask the Holy Spirit. You can go ahead and write this down. You ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the men that hurt you. How was your relationship with your dad? Now, why do you think I asked that? Your dad represented every man that, will ever, who have and ever came into your life. So he's what we call the point of inception. So if you look at this sheet of paper, I'm going to just show you something. When you were a little girl, this is how you were born. No knowledge of men until you heard your father's voice. So I'm just going to write on this for a second. So let's say 3 years old. When dad hurt you. So remember, you were born like this. Clean slate, nothing on it. But when dad hurt you at three, then all of a sudden he marred men and relationships about men for you. So as a result of that, how old are you now?
45.
Whenever you deal with men, it is not the 45-year-old, it is the 3-year-old little girl. So that's why it's so frustrating for you, because you'll quote scripture, you'll say things, and it should allow that the man that you're in love with now to come into your heart, but that 3-year-old little girl didn't know the scripture. So that's why you got to go back to the point of inception where that hurt happened, and then what's going to happen is, just like Jesus showed up with faith, he's going to show up. And that 3-year-old little girl will be clean just like this. And she'll be able to receive love because the current woman is the one that's dealing with it. You got me? Okay? And it's that simple. So all you do is you ask the Holy Spirit to show you the areas where your dad hurt you. And make sure I give you a forgiveness prayer. Okay? And then I'll show you how to use that. Okay? And it's going to be real weepy because I'm hitting... I'm talking to the 3-year-old little girl on the inside. See, the 3-year-old little girl don't have fingernails. She doesn't dress up. And she tries to mask all that pain on the inside of her. So when I show you how to do the forgiveness prayer, it's going to deal with that little girl. And then you'll do it that night. And then you're going to give yourself a rest for a day or so. And then you're going to deal with the next. Because, see, he's going to show you every point where your dad hurt you, every age where he hurt you. And then what he's going to do is he's going to grow you up until you are your current age. So then you'll be able to receive the love that this young man wants to give you. Amen? Appreciate your honesty. Appreciate your question.
Okay, I have a question. Okay. Once you've forgiven, like I forgave males or whatever, but what if you have a person that is still in your life that is still causing you hurt and anxious, well, for me, anxiousness?
Okay.
So how do you, I mean, sometimes I feel like I've regressed. And even though I try to put the word out, I still feel that hopelessness, I guess you could say, because of the way that person deals with me.
Okay, all right. And
so it's like re-hurting me.
Right. So you have the boundary that needs to be set where you are priceless enough where you don't need to be hurt every day. So that means I need to spend less time with that person, because whenever you encounter some, whenever Jesus encountered somebody, they never left how they came. They left different. Okay? So when you encounter someone that makes you feel less than your worth, then you need to make sure that your encounter with them are extremely limited. Family, friends, whoever they are. There are some relationships that are not worth keeping. Because Faith teaches class, she's excited, such, such. Boom. Soon as they're going to say something about her hair, she got a bead on, she got the wrong color on, she shouldn't wear this on, her hair shouldn't be this way, how long you had those glasses, your face shining. You know what I'm talking about? I ain't got to put up with that. I'm looking at you and you ugly. You know what I'm saying? They trying to, their worth comes from putting you down. You know, you never. I mean, that's what you want to say. You ugly. You better than that. I'm serious. I mean, if Jesus said, if the scripture says, he left them because in his own hometown, he could do no mighty works. So if Jesus made a decision to let some people go, if we follow him, that means there's some people I need to, and let me put this down kind of low, I need to drop the mic up. They're not going to change. Y'all met people like that? Candy, she knows she's not going to change. But I can love her where she is. You doing? Yeah? Okay. Just call to see how you're doing. Gotta go. Baby, can you do them like that? That profile is there for a reason. I tell people, never forget the profile. Until Jesus changed their life, the profile stays. I haven't forgot about it. The profile stays the same. They hurt you yesterday. They hurt you the day before yesterday. They hurt you a year ago. They hurt you 2 years ago. I forgive you, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to put up with your mess. You spend all day standing in the presence of the Lord to have Satan show up. Some of them are Satan people. So what, you supposed to cuddle Satan? Hey, Satan, I know you're going to attack. What's that fable about some... Who rolled over? Jazz, help me out. Okay. Chris, you know it. What? Hey, huh? So, somebody got to ride on a snake, or somebody got to ride on something, and then the dude say, no, I'm not going to. Huh? Tell them about the fox and gingerbread. Then I'll come back to you.
The gingerbread man needed a ride across the lake or okay. whatever. Right. And so he asked the fox. And so he says, you're not going to eat me, are you? And he said, it's just working with kids. So he says, you're not going to eat me, are you? And his sock goes, no, I'm not going to eat you. So he said, climb on my tail. He jumps in the water. Hey, climb on my back. You're going to get wet. He says, okay. He climbs up on his back. So he says, hey, climb up on my head. On my head. He says, I'm okay. You're going to get wet. So he says, climb up on my nose. And then he goes, and he eats him.
And what was he?
Huh?
What, was he a fox?
He's a fox. So Sly's a fox.
From? People tell you who they are all the time. You just got to believe them. The scripture even tells us some of our enemies will come from our own household. Look it up. I come from a family. How many in my family, man? How many? It was eight of us. Madeline and Madeline, the only one to come to church. I got other brothers. I mean, brothers live in Richmond. Yeah. Yeah. I got other sisters. How many of them live?
Only
Two? Okay. They need prayer, they'll pray, they'll call. You want to come visit? Be in town. Keep on going. Let's go to Golden Corral tomorrow. But guys, if I disqualify the positive, then I wouldn't see you all. I'll just see who in my family is not coming to the church. So while I'm crying about them, I'm missing you. But go ahead, young lady. Y'all got me started tonight.
What if this person has hurt you many times, mm-hmm. and but you still love them and they still love you, right. but they don't know they're hurting you.
Okay, then you need to tell them they hurt you.
Okay.
Okay, and you can do this as an adult.
Mm-hmm. It's my father.
Okay. Okay. Do you get a chance to talk to him?
I sometimes go see him.
Okay.
But it's rarely.
Okay. Okay. And so you just need to share with Dad, you know, when I get a chance to see you, I need to talk to you about something.
Okay.
And see, the advantage that you have that a lot of children don't is that you know how you feel. See, some children act out, but they don't know why they're acting out. See, you know you hurt. So he needs to know you hurt. And it's okay to cry when you talk to him. Like I'm getting emotional now because I know what you're feeling. And so it's up to you. Dad, I just want to talk. I'm going to tell you what to say. I need you to write it down for her because she's feeling something. So, Dad, I need to talk to you about something. I am your daughter. And I see you twice a year. Is it about twice a year?
Last Saturday, I got to see him, and then this Saturday.
Okay.
Wait, no, next Saturday I'm gonna go see him again.
Okay. All right.
Mhm. He said that's okay.
Okay. So how often does she get to see him? Every 2 or 3 months. But prior to that, how often did she see him? Okay. All right. So that's what I was getting in my spirit. Okay. So Dad, I'm excited about the fact that I get to see you more now. But I would like to tell you about the hurts that I feel when I don't see you. When I don't see you, I feel angry. And you add in whatever else. Angry, disappointed.
Sad.
Sad.
Alone.
Alone.
Not feeling as special.
Not special. And this is the core. Like I'm not good enough. Because if I was good enough, you would make the time to see me. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to feel that. Because I feel what you're feeling. It's okay. You can hand a tissue, but don't touch it. I feel flawed. Because if I was better, you would see me more. The way, and I'm just reading, you tell me if I'm wrong, the way you see the other children in there. Okay. See, I'm just reading by the Spirit.
May I talk to you in your office?
Yes, you will.
Because there's something a little bit more to my story.
Okay, okay. All right, so we're going to start out with that. So, Dad, if you wouldn't mind, tell me how I should feel when you don't come see me. You tell me how I should think about your absence in my life. Now, do you understand what I'm doing? I'm allowing him to have to answer to her. Because if she's young enough to feel, then she's young enough to know. You only deal with children according to what they have the ability to change. You don't tell a child, we can't afford, we don't have lights because such and such, such and such. They can't do anything about the lights. It's your job to find a way to have lights. But when a child says she hurts, she has the right to understand what has not been told. And what you do is, as you're doing this, you cry as much as you want to cry. If I'm having a challenge and I'm not you getting it out, he needs to see the challenge that his daughter is having saying these things. And before you go, you have, what's the drive for that? The drive, how long does it take? Okay, okay. So, do you carry a cell phone when you go to your dad's place? You and your mom have a code. And you call your mom if that conversation doesn't go the way you needed it to. And you call your mom and say, Mom, I'm ready to come home now. You follow me? We always hear the code with Jazz, no matter where she went. And she used the code, and she would call and say, such and such, such and such. And that meant it was time for us to come get you. Because, see, this is a lot that you're going to unload. But girl, let me tell you, you're going to feel so much better. Y'all got a tissue for me? Everybody else getting a tissue? Give me a tissue. I'm wiping my nose with my hand in it. Okay, thank you. So you want to have the ability to share that. And if he decides to go rogue, meaning that I dare you ask me these questions. Yeah, I know. Okay, he's not going to do that. That's good. But you all talk about the code. And when you get the code, then you go get her. You don't say nothing to him about anything because she did enough. Follow me? So we'll talk after service. Fair enough? Amen? You are awesome, God. It rained today, and it rained hard. But you knew that two people was going to need your presence. This three-year-old little girl on the inside of her, and this little girl right here. And I didn't have to look to see where the chairs were empty, because they filled them all. And Father, I thank you in advance that your anointing to heal, the emotional healing, the internal healing, your presence of changing those two little girls to know your worth is unlimited. They won't perform for love, Father, because they know they are loved. They won't struggle for worth because you gave them total worth. Tonight will be different than any night that they've ever lived. Because, Father, I thank you for more of your love, more of your presence, more of your peace. As they lay down to sleep tonight, I thank you that you'll bypass their intellect and go directly to their heart of pain to produce a heart of healing. I thank you that when they go, because every woman does, go to look in the mirror at night before they go to bed. But when they go to look, they won't see their flaws. They'll see your presence. And your presence will change them in such a way that they wouldn't know how they got changed. Because sometimes we quote your word thinking that the power is in the quote, but the power is in your presence. And that night, this night, when they look in the mirror, your presence is so powerful that your word will come alive. Now thank you, Father, that they'll never have self-worth issues ever again. Because you have backed all the way into them. And so when they move, you move. In fact, they move in you. So there won't be a word that is spoken that's based off need, but it's a word that's spoken based off your anointing. They'll say things that they've never said before. But Father, they thought that they were never worthy enough to serve you. But because you're in them, the beauty will shine forth. I bind the spirit of anger, and I loosen the spirit of peace. I bind moodiness, and I loosen your behavior. I thank you, Father, in advance, that their life will never be the same. And I thank you for this day, this time, these your children. I thank you, Father, that this is a time of rest for them. The struggle is over. Peace is their reward. The things that have fell apart before have all became new. And I'm not just speaking about life now. I'm speaking about the future of their life. And those who mean to do harm, they cannot enter them anymore. They can't come near them anymore. They have no right, no authority. I speak and I ask that you take out of their life anything that means devastation, anything that means hurt, anything that means less than. I decree and declare that there are never no lack in any capacity. There are never no sickness in any capacity. They'll only know your goodness. Tonight, abandonment ends. In Jesus' name, and all in agreement, amen. All right, so we went somewhere. We did something. Anybody got any questions about what took place tonight? We started out with faith and ended with these two young ladies. You got any questions about anything before we go tithing off? Anybody got any questions? Speak now, forever hold your peace. So you're going to see something in the mirror tonight. And it won't be you. It'll be him in you. Big difference. Amen?
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.